So hello, everybody, and welcome to our December 2020 Empowered Healthcare topic. This is our health topic of the month, and every month we have either a very special guest or me presenting to you topics that we think are of real big importance to you in helping your health. And the topic for today is one that the more and more I practice and more I work with people, the more I see that it's one of the most overlooked things in healthcare. It's one of the things that we take for granted and we don't realize how much our thoughts are affecting our physical body. I hear this all the time. I see it on posts in some of the forums and some of the Facebooks, like people freaking out over things that are not worth freaking out over, quite frankly, and what that's doing in their body. So we have a very special guest today, Susan Larson. She is one of our nutritional endocrinology students, soon to be certified. And she came into the program 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I can't even remember.
November of 17.
November of 17. And she started out very passionate about her own health, kind of like a lot of you here. And she realized that there was so much she was fascinated with how the body worked as she went through our sweet spot program and our digestion program and other things. And then she came to our Shine event and she decided, I can do this. I can actually do this. So now she works as a nutrition coach in the office of Dr. Louisa Thompson, who is a very special optometrist, let me just say, a very integrated optometrist she's in the program as well. And she found that there were problems she was seeing in people's eyes that were indicative of diabetes long before they'd ever been diagnosed with diabetes. And so she started talking to them and she wanted to know more about how to coach them. And she realized how much that could be a full-time job. So anyway, she's got Susan doing a lot of that nutrition coaching and helping folks with that. And Susan has been a shining star. She's been an ERC coach as an intern coach. Like, we asked her to do that long before she was in the program very long because we saw how wonderful she is. So I can't wait for you to experience Susan Larson.
Oh boy. That's a lot to follow. And thank you for such a great introduction, because you are spot on about this, how we think and process our thoughts as being so relevant to our health. And I think it's not looked at enough. So let me pull up, hang on a minute here. But I had this already queued up.
I just made you a co-host so you could share your screen.
All right, now how do I get back to... All right, so I thought I knew how to do this. Now I don't know how to minimize my screen to get back to my Zoom thing.
So what you do is you hit share screen.
Wait, but I can't find my way back to, wait a minute, what just happened? Okay, let me end the slideshow. Start over.
There you go. You should be able to have PowerPoint and open and the Zoom. And then and if you're on a Mac, I can't help you because I have no idea.
I'm not on a Mac. Okay, so I've got my PowerPoint open.
All right, so now go back to the Zoom and hit share screen, and it'll give you a choice of screens to share. And you can—
But I want to put my presentation in the presenter form.
Okay, so click it into presenter form.
Wait a minute, let me go to slideshow.
And then you should have at the bottom of your screen these little icons that you can click on the Zoom one, and it'll get back there. And usually it shows a little picture, a little mini thing.
Screen. Oh, I see how I do it. Whoa, wait a minute, that didn't work. All right, so now, this is very interesting. I am totally lost.
Do you see along the bottom your little icons to get you to different programs that are open? One of them should be Zoom.
I've got a full screen and I can't get my screen to...
Okay, so here's what you do. Get out of the full screen mode in PowerPoint. then go back to Zoom. You're going to share your screen, and then when you'll go back to this PowerPoint and put it.
Okay. So I've minimized that. Share screen.
All right. So it should show, and then you can go back to PowerPoint and do it that way. Yay! Good.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
What I would do is
click slideshow and then put it in the presenter mode there. So click slideshow from beginning. Slideshow from beginning.
From beginning.
There you go. There you have it.
All right. So I'll discuss this at the end. Remind me, because this was really awesome. Because I did not freak out. I let you coach me through this, and I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm not wigged out like I would have in the past. And you'll understand, you'll laugh about that at the end when I get to the last slide.
Great.
So, woohoo! All right, now, let's see, I need to minimize you guys. There we go. All righty. Well, cool. Thank you for your patience, ladies, and you'll understand all what I said in a moment. All right, so welcome and thank you for being here today. And we're going to be talking about thoughts and the science behind them. What got me interested in this is that I read a book earlier this year by Dr. Caroline Leaf called Who Switched Off My Brain? And it fascinated me. It caught my attention. I'm one of those people that when I understand why I should do something, I'm far more inclined to actually do it than if you just tell me that I shouldn't do it. So this really brought home to me the importance of our thoughts and what we do with them. So we're going to look at how thoughts produce chemical hormones and peptides, how memories are made, how thoughts and memories affect our health. And we're going to start with a quote that was quite startling. Research shows that around 87% of illnesses can be attributed to our thought life and approximately 13% to diet, genetics, and environment. Studies conclusively link more chronic diseases, also known as lifestyle diseases, to an epidemic of toxic emotions in our culture. So this was super startling to me. And I thought, well, could this be real? Maybe these statistics aren't correct. Maybe it's not 87 and 13, but I got to thinking about it. It's like, well, what if it's 50-50? You know, 50% of the illnesses attributed to our health, but that's still half of our health is related to our thought life. And I thought, well, that warrants further investigation. So if this is true, then why would it be true? It's true because behavior starts with a thought. Thought stimulates emotions, which can then result in attitude and finally produce behavior. This symphony of electrochemical reactions in the body affects the way we think and feel physically. Therefore, toxic thoughts produce toxic emotions, which produce toxic attitudes, resulting in, you got it, toxic behavior. That was a quote from Who Switched Off My Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf. So let's first define emotions. So emotions by themselves are not necessarily toxic, but they can become toxic. And they become toxic by how we manage them. And usually it's in dysfunctional ways, and then they go toxic. So we'll be looking at that. And, you know, the positive, healthy emotions, and I'm just gonna call them positive, healthy, and negative or toxic, because remember, in and among themselves, each emotion is not necessarily a bad thing, even the quote unquote toxic ones. It's just what we do with them and how long we hang on to them, which we'll be looking at. So we all have memories of feeling, you know, like on the left-hand side, love, peace, joy, happiness, kindness, and so on. And we all have memories of the toxic ones, the anger, the rage, the resentment, the depression, the worry, and so on. So you get the idea. We all have very firsthand personal experience with all of these. So did you know that positive happy thoughts have specific chemicals that are released? And did you know that negative thoughts have specific chemicals that are released? And did you know that these two sets of chemicals, they're not the same? It's two different sets, and we'll look at that. These chemicals are called neurotransmitters and or hormones. Sometimes they're separate, sometimes they're same, but I'm not going to get into that. That's too much chemistry. So the happy hormones, I'm not really going to talk much about them today because there is already a lot of conversation. We're pretty familiar with the serotonins, the dopamines, the oxytocins, and the endorphins. That's, you know, positive emotions, or we'll leave that for another topic. I'm going to focus on the negative, what we call the negative emotions. So the hormones that are released when we have...
I'm just going to pause you right there, Susan.
Yeah.
There's a reverberation that's happening, and I don't know if it's in your mic. Like when you're silent, I don't hear it. And as soon as you speak, we start to hear like this reverberation. Is there...
What would I do?
Where are you? Are you talking into the computer microphone? Is that what...
That's all I have.
Okay.
And I've done this before with this laptop and not had that, so...
Maybe you have it too loud and it's reverberating.
Ah, I can
turn it a little bit.
Is that better?
Go ahead and speak again.
Okay. Is that better?
No.
No.
No. All right. I think we'll just have to.
I have no idea what to do.
All right. Check your microphone.
Where do I do that?
Down at the bottom. At the bottom of Zoom, where it says mute, there's an arrow that points up. And you can actually mute the mic. No, you can't do that. The speaker. See where it says select a speaker on that?
On the mute?
On the mute, if you click the arrow that goes up.
Select a speaker, okay.
Yeah, it might be, do you have a headphones on there?
It does say, it says speaker / headphone.
All right, and that's what's checked? Yeah,
that's
I don't know
what's checked.
What else to do. I'll look around to see if I can find another setting that's a system setting.
There's a setting right underneath it that says same as system.
Try that, see if that makes a difference.
Okay, what are you hearing now?
Yeah, the same.
The same.
Yeah, it's possible that you can turn off your speaker when you have it, then you won't hear me. Never mind, I think we're just gonna have to live with it. It's not terrible. No, now
she's
we can't
muted.
Do it all. Now you're muted.
All right, I'm mute.
Yeah. All right, we'll just have to deal with it. Here, our thoughts create our emotions. Our thoughts create our chemistry. And so we can sit here and go, that's really freaking annoying. And why can't they fix that? Really pissed off. Or you can say, well, life is what it is. We're going to get some great information here. And I'm just going to deal with the little bit of a reverberation. And so those are two different ways that your thoughts can affect you. And Susan will be going into how each of those is going to affect you negatively or positively in your body, right?
Right. Okay, so I am now on full screen with my PowerPoint and I've lost my presenter mode. Show.
It's okay, because we're seeing your.
Okay, never mind. I got it. I figured it out. All right, so where was the last slide that I was on? Okay, we did that one. Okay, we were right here, correct?
I think yes.
So. I'll pick up from here. All right, let me take a breath. So I was so laughing that this is happening based on this topic.
It's the job.
Say it again.
I said it's perfect because it's the universe doing its job. It's helping us to be hearing you exemplify or seeing you exemplify different ways that we can allow our thoughts to control us in positive or negative ways. So it's like a good example. You built an example without you even planning it.
Yeah, isn't that somewhat comical how the universe works that way?
Yep.
All right, so like I had said, I'm gonna focus more on the negative chemicals that are released with the negative thoughts, because those are the ones that do us harm and damage with our health. So we're gonna look at the CRH, the corticotropin releasing hormone, ACTH, the adrenocorticotropic hormone, which is also known as the fear hormone, cortisol, and adrenaline. So let's look at how this works. This is going to be a lot of info, so just hang on with me here. So we have this whole chemical cascade that happens. When a negative thought occurs, the hypothalamus in the brain releases CRH, and that stimulates the pituitary to do its job, which is to release ACTH to stimulate the adrenals to do their job, which then the adrenals release both the cortisol and the adrenaline. Now that is a way oversimplified pathway, but I'm just gonna leave it at that. There are also additional chemicals specific to specific negative thoughts that are released from other organs, but they're kind of minor in comparison, and that's a whole nother bunny trail to go down. So here's an interesting tidbit that I thought was kind of crazy, that when we get that release of cortisol, you know, big release to a strong emotion, it bathes the brain's nerve cells, actually causing those nerve cells in the brain to shrink. And it leads to those moments when under stress, you can't think and you can't remember. And for some, just like sitting for an exam can cause enough stress for that brain freeze to happen. And, you know, we've all had experiences with that. So here's another quote. Emotions that regularly release a torrent of destructive chemicals that will be most damaging over time are unforgiveness, anger, rage, resentment, depression, worry, anxiety, frustration, fear, excessive grief, and guilt. I don't think she left any out, but joking aside, this quote did catch my attention because we've all had experience with all of these emotions, and I didn't realize just how damaging to my health hanging on to these things were. So let's look at an example of this. Let's say you experience a jolt of fear as a result of a thought or a situation. Perhaps you just had a close call with another car while you're driving, you know, an almost car accident, or you just remember that you have an appointment in 15 minutes and you're not ready. Or maybe you've got a big review with your boss, you know, in an hour or so. So the hormone CRH gets released by the hypothalamus, which then activates pituitary to release the ACTH, which then stimulates the adrenals and releases the cortisol and the adrenaline. That's just kind of a review of what we did in real life. But what happens then if the thought runs rampant and is not brought under control? Then these chemical hormones of cortisol and adrenaline can cause havoc on the bodily systems. You've all experienced the feeling of the direct effects of this chemical hormone dump. You know, that feeling of butterflies in your stomach, or sweaty hands, or queasiness, heart palpitations, pounding heart, shaky hands, brain freeze. There is a rise in your blood pressure. And basically, the cardiovascular system takes a hit every time we have a strong reaction that is not brought under control in a timely manner. And that's part of the key, is this timely manner. Also, the immune system is temporarily shut down or diminished, compromised due to this chemical hormone dump. And then remember from earlier, I talked about the cortisol bathing the nerve cells in the brain, which shrinks them so that you actually can't remember what you need to remember in the moment. It's like, you know it, and you just can't pull it up. So what else is involved? Where are these thoughts created? How are memories made? And how do these affect our health? So let's switch tracks here for just a moment and look at another aspect, and we'll pull this all together. Picture the inside of your brain as a forest of trees. Research estimates that our brains have about 1 trillion of these trees, each tree capable of growing up to 70,000 branches. It is these branches, which are called dendrites, as you'll see in the little left-hand picture there, the dendrites are at the top. And it is in these dendrites that our memories are stored. Information from the 5 senses are converted into electrical impulses through an intricate process that puts memories into the dendrites for storage. The important thing to know here is that the more trees we have, like the denser the forest, the more memories we have and the stronger the memory is. So just for the fun of it, I put a picture of the actual brain scans of these dendrites. I think this is pretty cool. You can see the axon, which is like the tree trunk. And then the neuron is that little kind of like bright white ball things. And then the dendrites are kind of exploding out of it. So the trees that we just looked at are predominantly in the brain. That's where the bulk of these trees are. However, these axons and dendrites that make these trees, they also exist in differing forms throughout the body, such as the organs and in the muscle tissue. So here's some questions to ponder. How do these thoughts that release these chemical hormones affect the rest of the body? And how is it that we physically experience butterflies or get shaky hands or weaken the knees as a result of a strong emotional response? Well, there's another little piece called peptides. And their corresponding receptor cells come into play here. And peptides are the neurochemical messengers. Peptides are the neurochemicals that carry messages from the brain to the various parts of the body, such as the organs and the muscles. Now, get this. This is super cool. Each emotion has its own neuropeptide that attaches to a specific receptor on the cell for that specific peptide, like a key for a lock or a child's puzzle. So in case you're wondering what a neuropeptide is, well, think of it as a messenger scuttling around the body, carrying a package, looking for the right place or right address to deliver this package to. Or, like in the puzzle, you've got the child trying to place the shapes that he's got in his hand into the matching corresponding shape in the puzzle. So that's kind of how this whole peptide receptor thing works. We'll see why this is important in just a moment. Here's an excerpt from an article, How Your Thoughts Program Your Cells, by Jordan LeJeune. This is a lot, so bear with me here. When we have feelings of anger, sadness, guilt, excitement, happiness, or nervousness, each separate emotion releases its own flurry of neuropeptides. Those peptides surge through the body and connect with those receptors, which change the actual structure of the cell as a whole. Where this gets interesting is when the cells actually divide. If a cell has been exposed to a certain peptide more than others, the new cell that is produced through its division will have more of the receptor that matches with that specific peptide. Likewise, this cell will also have less receptors for peptides than its mother-sister cell was not exposed to as often. So what is that saying? Here. So if you have been bombarding your cells with peptides from negative thoughts, you are literally programming your cells to receive more of the same negative peptides in the future. What's even worse is that you're lessening the number of receptors of positive peptides on the cells, making yourself more inclined toward negativity. I just found that rather a profound statement. It's like, oh my gosh, I hadn't thought of actually increasing the negative receptors versus the positive receptors. I mean, that somehow I missed that piece of information.
You know, Susan, I think we all have. And what that says to me is there's a lot of times people say, well, you know, if you think negatively, you're going to attract more negative things. And everybody thinks this woo-woo, like law of attraction. Oh, you're just off in outer space. What this is doing is taking that into the physicality of it, the actual biochemistry, structural physicality of it, that that is a scientific truth, that when you think and you stay in a negative space, you will surround yourself and you will be filling your body with more negativity. And I love this. Thank you.
Yeah, to me, it was such an eye opener because, you know, we all know that negative thinking is not good. But to actually, like I said, when I understand the why, I am much more inclined to heed the advice. All right, so continuing, All right, so peptides are released as a result of your thoughts. This is kind of a little bit of a review. Peptides are released as a result of your thoughts. The peptides talk to your entire body through the circulatory system, gastrointestinal system, nervous system, immune, endocrine, and through gene regulation. And this communication is nonstop. I mean, when do we not think, right? So remember this slide from earlier, that each of these emotions, whether positive or negative, can become a memory by the perceived information from our five senses. And also remember that each set of emotions has its own set of biochemical pathways. So why is this important? Well, I laugh at this because this is my story. Bringing this home to real life. Say you have a negative experience with math, or maybe it was English in school or chemistry, pick one. We've all got a boatload of them. So through repeated experience, those negative emotions create usually anxiety, that kind of tends to be the first thing. The toxic chemicals are released, the toxic memories are made, and over time we have this toxic viewpoint of this subject. Like the only thing I learned in math was that I hate math, you know, but that can apply to all kinds of things that we do. So research indicates that the peptides coursing through our bodies can determine our health. And according to the research done by Dr. Caroline Leib, these peptides, they actually have a benefit. They can kill off cancer cells or viruses and many other pathogens to keep us healthy. However, when these peptides become dysfunctional due to negative thoughts and emotions over time, poor health can result. So that's key right there. So these peptides have a very positive thing as far as keeping us healthy. It's when we get into this toxic thinking that we kind of get our bodies messed up. So here's a couple questions to ask ourselves. Do we have a preponderance of positive memories and stories? Are we growing new branches in our trees? Or do we have a preponderance of negative memories and stories? And are our branches in our trees thinning? The memories are not so great. The good news is that we can change. So we can increase the number of branches on our trees by giving attention to information as opposed to glossing over it. My husband is a stickler for this. He is of the opinion, and rightly so, that whenever you learn something, you need to teach it to somebody else. And we all know that the one who learns the material the most is not the students, but the teacher. And that's because you're going over information repeatedly, and that grows the dendrites. It makes your forest thicker for that subject area. And that's just kind of how it works. So you can take that even into the negative realm of negative experiences, that the more you live those, the denser and more memories you have of the negative experiences. And that's where we get into trouble. We can also change by evaluating the information that's coming in to determine if it's truly a negative, or could the information be evaluated as a positive? And that way we can actually change the cell structure in our bodies. And that requires a paradigm shift. We can shift the negative chemical cascade to a positive chemical cascade if we so choose, by changing our point of view. And I think that's pretty darn amazing that we actually have the power to do this. So I'm gonna leave you with this slide. Because that was me in the past. And that today I am not about ready to kill my computer. It's like, okay, I don't understand how this works. So we've got an issue with the sound right now. I have no idea how to fix that. But you know what? We got this. We'll figure it out somehow, like the guy on the right. So our thoughts do matter. And no matter our age, now is always the right time to work on ourselves and how we think. There are some great resources out there on this topic to assist us in managing our thought life. This is not about thinking good, happy, positive thoughts all the time, because I don't think that's reality, nor do I even think it's possible, you know, just due to our human nature. But what is at issue here is how we respond to the hard and stressful things of life. You know, how we take the information and process it. And that's kind of a wrap up for this. There's so much more we can talk about. So let's just open it up for discussion now, because this was just kind of a cursory introduction to help you guys understand the actual chemical part of your thought life, and that it does matter.
This is awesome, Susan. It's because so many times people want to blame out there, right? Blame the events for us getting sick, for us getting, you know, whatever happens, bad happens. And I'm a control freak. I'll just admit it. I like having control and knowing that I can control my physiology by how I think, and knowing it's not just a woo-woo kind of thought, which I think is great. I'm not downing anything in that regard, because I have a lot of woo-woo activities and things, but to know that it's grounded in science, and that the thought we have changes the cell structure and the receptivity, because receptors are everything, right? Hormones affect everything. Hormones have receptors on every cell. The neurochemistry, you know, neurons have receptors on every cell, or we wouldn't be able to think, breathe, act, right? So I think that it's so empowering. And that's what this whole lab, this membership is all about. It's called Empowered Self-Care. And that's what I want you guys to be feeling, right? You have the resources. Susan just pointed out how you can change your thoughts. Inside of Empowered Self-Care, there are lots of resources to help you to change your thoughts, to change your reactions, to shift from parasympathetic to sympathetic. We didn't talk about that, but we did that last month. We talked about that in our last one with Lynn. And so it's super important that we take the time, and you hear me say this all the time, just breathe and just find something to appreciate in the moment. And that shifts you to that, from those negative emotions, changing and damaging those cell receptors, to the positive emotions that are going to be building your forest. I love the concept of forest as well. Yeah. So this was just really fascinating.
Right. And the other thing too that struck me is that this is a process, because if we're talking about at a cellular level that we have a preponderance of, I'll call them negative receptors for lack of any other thing to call them, that if we have a preponderance of those, if we just suddenly start having all this positive thinking, it's not like we're going to have a change overnight and suddenly have all these positive receptors the next day. I mean, maybe it happens that fast, but I think it's a slower thing. It's a process, you know, and all the things that you teach, Dr. Rita Marie, are part of it. Mm-hmm. All of the relaxation, like you talked about the whole parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. I mean, the sympathetic is the one that, you know, that whole negative cascade of chemicals runs through.
Right. Yeah. And you all, you guys, if you haven't gone through, you know, the handbook says, start here, do here. And people go, just give me the good stuff, right? Just jump me into the, what herb should I take for my thyroid? But in reality, the reason that I laid the program out, and go back to your handbook, go back to the roadmap. I have the rest of the handbooks we're going to be uploading probably next week sometime, or just still editing them. But start at the beginning, because the first thing I have you do is get connected to what you really want. And then doing the heart math, we have you click the thing to get started on 30 days of motivational messages. And when you finish the first 30 days, you do it again. And every day you devote 5 minutes to listening and to making this habit for you, right? And when you want to create a new habit, it doesn't start with the action. It starts with Judy, Hetty just wrote in there, thought, speech, action. And I would say think, and it's feel too. It's like your feelings, and then you're going to act. And if you don't align your head and your heart, so I get head, heart, habit, head, heart, habit, right? You have to align your thoughts, create those positive emotions, and then the habits will flow. But there's no way you're going to create a new habit if you're thinking, I just want my pizza. Screw these stupid smoothies and salads and, you know, healthy foods. I just want my pizza. That's creating a negative cascade, and you will never make that a habit. It just won't work.
And the gratitude, I think, is probably the quickest and best way to start changing at a cellular level.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's been a lot of studies on that. If you want to look at the studies that the HeartMath Institute did, go to heartmath.org. They post a lot of their studies, their books, and they go through what they found, the neurochemistry, the biochemistry, the hormonal chemistry, all of that, that shifts when you shift into that place of gratitude, thankfulness. And, you know, we've had the tough year. This has been not just this country or this part of the world. This has been a tough year universally, right across the whole globe. And here's what's happening that I think is not to your benefit. If you're watching news and reading the newspapers and there's all this infighting, it's all, they're creating fear. When you're in fear mode, you're going to take action to get yourself out of the fear mode. And companies prey on that. Drug companies prey on that. Food companies prey on that. Companies prey on that. The burglar alarm companies prey on that. Get yourself fearful enough, and then you're going to take an action that may not be in alignment with your true self, with your true motives, with your true goals. So if you are watching the news, and I will say I never watched the news until this year. I really didn't. I hardly ever watched news. And now I'm like, I want to hear more, but I want to empower people. Right? There's so much you can do to protect yourself physiologically, but it starts up here. Remember, the 83% of it is starting with the thoughts. And so you start by, every time you hear something that's fearful, you take a breath. Laura Fine has this thing. You pat yourself down. You go, I'm here. I'm here. You look around. I'm here. I'm here. You look around. There's windows. There's doors. I can escape. There's no monsters under the bed. There's nothing here for me to fear. Let me get grounded in feeling safe. When you can get grounded in feeling safe, then there's things you can do. And when you know that there's things you can do to protect your immune system, to protect your gut, to protect your cardiovascular system. Studies are showing vitamin D, like, you know, big doses of decent sized doses of vitamin D are protecting your immune system. Why not? It's not going to hurt. Just watch your levels. You know, there's all sorts of things to empower you. But it starts up here. It starts with your thought and your belief.
And I have to wonder, Well, I guess I don't wonder, now I kind of know, why those people that seem to do everything right and have, they're eating the right diet, they're taking the right supplements, they're doing everything diligently regarding their health, and they just don't get better.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we find that they're stuck in these negative thought loops.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's stuff that was programmed really early on. And if that's the case,
absolutely,
good to get help with that. Right. I mentioned Laura Fine. She has, you know, she offers amazing services to help people get unblocked. Kimberly Ward, those folks. And there are, if you go down to your bonuses section on the site, there's a couple of things that, you know, little workshops that Laura and Kimberly did. And I think I'm going to bring them in to do one of these monthly calls, because it's been a while since we've done anything fresh with them, because it's so important that, yes, the diet is critical. It's so critical. Right. But we don't get that we're creating it. I'll just give you an example. We're doing this fasting while feasting challenge, and there's people on Facebook, and there are people who are technologically challenged. And this goes back to you with the wanting to kill the computer, right? And they're just technologically challenged, and they're yelling and blaming us for their issues, right? I can't get the videos, and none of the videos play for me. Oh, well, they play for the other 3,000 people that are in the program. Why are they not playing for you? You know, maybe it's 2,550 because there's another bunch of hundreds of people that are still challenged, but they get into this mode of like, and I just wrote back, and I'm about to send it. I changed my mind about sending it from a place of like exasperation, but it was very loving, and we're here to support you. And we are putting a lot of love and support into what we're doing. So again, you know, at the beginning, we had a little technical challenge with this, and Susan had a little reverberation. We've got to just let that go, because what Susan offered us was a beautiful gift. It was a beautiful presentation and help for us. And so we sometimes have to deal with the little, you know, the little stones in the shoe, or the sand, you know, that gets in your between your toes, that's uncomfortable a little bit. That is worth it. Right? Who has ever had a baby? Write in the chat if you've had a baby. Like, how many of you were like healthy and happy and loved your pregnancy because you felt great all the time? Yeah, there are some people who are. How many people thought childbirth was just like, you know, riding a bike? Like, look, no, it was painful. It was stressful. And then when you got the kid out and they're crying all night long, but would you trade that kid back? I actually asked this of a man once, and he said yes. But most of us would say, no, we wouldn't trade that experience of—
No, we do it again.
We do it again. Some people 8 or 10 times, right? 6 babies. Yeah, Jill, right? 3 of them, 6 of them, Beatrice, right? So we go back and do it again. Was it worth the discomfort? Of course, this wonderful kid is in your life, right? And maybe they're not wonderful all the time. None of them are. Get over it, right? You're not going to be perfect. They're not going to be perfect. The technology isn't going to be perfect. Just think about the magic. I just think it's magic that Susan, well, she's close to me. She's only 45 minutes away from me, but some of you are on the other end of the world from me. And Susan is sharing pictures on her computer, and we're seeing it, and we're hearing each other. And we take all that for granted. And then when it doesn't work 100%, we get frustrated. Instead, come from, wow, I'm really grateful that this is the least of the trouble we've had. I'm seeing Susan, and I'm hearing her and getting this great message without having to leave my house, right? Or take your pajamas off with some of us, right? So I think we always can twist it. My mother-in-law was really good at that, twisting things to the like positive bent, right? The glass half full versus the glass half empty. I would say, well, people, she says, yeah, people would ask me, you know, having 5 kids this close apart, or having 5 kids, it must be really stressful and hard. And she goes, you know, I had 2 years between them and it was great. And, you know, she just always looked at the positive part. And that's what we need to do. Fear in its pure sense is the most wonderful emotion you can have. Why? Because it's going to keep you from getting eaten by the tiger, right?
Right.
Right. That adrenaline and cortisol that gets produced, that's life-saving. And at the right time, we want it. if you see a tiger chasing you, don't start thinking happy thoughts and meditating. You let your body get full of fear. So it's full of cortisol and adrenaline and you run like hell to get away from it. You know what I'm saying? That's the appropriate time. But when, you know, we're sitting at the desk and Susan's going, huh, how do I get my slides to show? Or how do I get that echo to go away? There's no reason for cortisol. In fact, cortisol then goes the opposite because like you said, it bathes the brain in this negative emotion. And so the brain is going, escape, survive. That's it. That's all it can think. It can't think, well, how, what is the button I press for that? Or how do I solve that problem? No. And the ironic thing is we tend to reflexively, probably learned it when we were little babies, that when things are stressful, we immediately go to this place, which turns off the brain. Whoever has taken a test in your life, who's gone to college, high school, elementary school, right? And we get all stressed out, right? Some people get diarrhea before taking a test because they're so stressed out. That's the worst thing you can do before a test because it turns off the prefrontal cortex where all that judgment and memory and logic is stored and you're less likely to pass the test. So I remember when my kids were little, I had them in a 2-day a week homeschool co-op and I went to, most people, women would go to bed and sleep during that time. I went to acupuncture school. That was what I did. I was going to acupuncture school. So I remember like my husband is traveling all the time. I have 2 kids. This, like they were 3 and 7 or 4 and 8 or something like that. And I've got these 4 hours, 2 days a week. And what do? I go to school. And I was having a test and I'm like, I've gone through this material, but you know, this is really, how do I study for this? I don't have time to study fully for this. So I remember going in and breathing and doing my heart math and going into appreciation and saying, I am going to have 100% recall on this test. I am going to just, it's going to be all there. And I kept calm and I kept breathing. I got a 98 on this test. Okay. 2%. Wow. I'll take that 2%. You know, I missed that 2%. That's okay. But I couldn't have done it if I'd gone in there all stressed out. Oh, I didn't get to study enough. And there's this meridian and that meridian. And what do they all do? And I wouldn't be able to recall it. So if ever you're in a place where you're going, I can't find my keys. I can't do this. And you're like, where are they? And you're getting frantic. Change your thoughts.
Right. And that's
the way it reacts.
Yeah. And I think that's where just stopping and evaluating the situation, you know, when I start to see myself go down into that, like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. It's like, well, wait, stop. Just let's stop and just take a breath and think. Exactly. And it is amazing to me how often I can just kind of redirect that thought, like the guy on, you know, with his thumbs up. It's like, okay, I got this. Even if it's hard, even if I don't want to do it, even if I don't know what I'm doing, it's all, you know, because like you said, if we continue down that negative bunny trail, then you get the brain freeze.
Exactly.
And then.
Then it's all over, right? Yeah. Then you have to be like little mama, the thumb is not here, it's in the mouth.
Right. And then you have a negative experience that stays with you.
Yeah. Yeah, this is interesting, Hetty. Yeah, I like that. Someone said that when a man and a woman are creating a child, the parent's thoughts create the child's emotions mentally. You know, because there's neurochemistry, right? And then, yeah, that's a great
point. Well, if it is true that we actually change the gene expression, then, you know, I guess that would make that a somewhat true statement.
Yeah. So this is, you know, so the takeaway from this is you can control your thoughts. We think we can't control our emotions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can't because they come from thoughts. So it's head, heart, habit, you know, think, feel, do, right? And so we try to change the do. We want to go back and change the think. And when you can change that think to I can, instead of I can't, I have this instead of I'm scared, right? That's when we can change, and the emotion changes, right? Because of all those neurochemicals that and peptides that Susan told us about, and then we can make a different action. So if you start to get into that mode of stressing, I can't get this to happen, I can't get this to happen, relax, take a breath, find something that you do appreciate. That's why I call them the mini vacations. Just go back and think about that beach trip that you just had, or that hike in the woods, or that beautiful, well, a friend of mine's been posting pictures of a beautiful flowing brook that she's been visiting and hiking to. And I just watching that, I'm like, oh, you know, and there's plenty of that on YouTube. If you want to get a little YouTube video that you can play, that you can put in your favorites, that whenever you're getting stressed out, you just can play that, the sounds of the ocean or the mountain brook or birds tweeting or whatever, and allow it to happen. So thank you, Susan. You can put your slide down for now so we can see everybody on the screen again. And then
stop share.
Yeah, just stop share. And if there's questions, I'm going to change it from, How do I do that? Okay, Susan. And then I say remove spotlight. There, then everybody. And then I'm going to say gallery view. So now we can see everybody. So what questions do you have? Diana, good to see you. Jill, good to see you. Who else have, Marcy, a lot of you came on since I last saw. Thank you. Who has comments? Just open your mind. Yes, Jill.
I was gonna say that that sometimes there's more than one lesson or thought pattern to change. And as an example, I've had several different very scary experiences in the car, driving, bad winter roads, that kind of thing. And I realized that that I had created some subconscious mind blocks about driving and being safe. And so one time I was being challenged driving in the car. I wasn't driving and it was snowing really bad. And I was repeating over and over to myself, I'm safe, I'm safe, I'm safe. And it wasn't until a little later that I realized there was another thought that I needed to work on, which was, it was about control. And of course I didn't feel I had control because I wasn't driving. The other person was driving. And so sometimes there's more than one thought pattern to change.
Yeah.
And lesson to learn, you know, that's tucked into the same experience.
Yeah. And they come on like early on. There may have been some near miss on a road that got you really nervous early on that you don't even remember consciously, but it plays into that subconscious and it creates that fear pattern. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Who else had something? Heather, did you? I thought I saw you moving towards.
Yeah, I did. Sorry, I got the wrong button. Well, I've been teaching over the years as a therapist. I did a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy and I knew it worked. This was fascinating for me to get the physiological piece of why it worked. And it really points out, I was just thinking about that the meditation practice is forcing my body to have that time every day to bathe all the cells as best I can.
Yeah.
With the good peptides, at least to the extent that I can let go of anything negative during that time. But I really hadn't considered as on the physiological level that was a great piece. I appreciated that.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else have something? Yeah, Diana.
I'm mute.
Yes.
I've had a couple of very near-death experiences in the last few weeks. Stepped across to the other side. And what was interesting is the first one came with an actual event outside my window. Neighbor's cabin went up in flames. Our volunteers took over 45 minutes to get to the flame. By the time that I woke up, there was a bright orange glow in the window. And I went, what the heck? And I jumped up and I looked and it was completely inflamed from the ground all the way to the tin roof, the top of the tin roof. total silence. No ambulance noises, no police sirens, nothing. No response. I immediately jumped and went into, you know, fight or flight. I mean, big time. But I had no cortisol. It was a real deal. I hit adrenal crash. Mm-hmm. And I headed off towards my husband, and he's sleeping in the other room. I said, "Dennis, get up, get up. Hazel's house is on fire." And he's like, "Oh, no, it's not." And I said, "Yeah, get in here." I got as far as the kitchen window to point it to him because I wanted to see if there was anything coming. And there were some people standing outside. The rest of that evening, I went into literally stepping across. I had a hard time getting my heart rate to come down. My cortisol had totally crashed. I went into total adrenal failure. And there was nothing that we could do at that point. The fire trucks did finally show up. They did get the house out after about 4 hours, and all the people were safe. It was all right. But it was, the interesting part was, I almost died. And Dan sat out and he helped me, and we called the people we're supposed to call, all the phone numbers we're supposed to call in emergency. And it took over 3 hours to get somebody to respond. This all happened at like 1:45 in the morning. And we managed to survive the night. Meds did save my life, but my husband sat. There was nothing he could do to help anybody, not even us. I mean, even if he had wanted to pick me up, carry me out, throw me in the car and start driving, I wouldn't have survived that either because I'm on oxygen. Mm-hmm. So it was just a really scary event, and it kind of wore on me a little bit. But anyway, thank God for my husband. He's doing awesome for a construction worker turned medical professional. And it was very interesting. A few nights later, I had a similar occurrence happen, but it was a nightmare. A nightmare caused a physical reaction.
Physical reaction. Thoughts creating physical reaction.
Right. And that was the part that I thought was even more interesting. That it took me half a day to figure that out. I was like, the nightmare, I don't even remember what it was, but it was not related to that fire that night. But it was a few days later. And finally, I realized, wait a minute, that nightmare was a fight or flight kind of nightmare. And it actually created that adrenal crash again, because I had the exact same symptoms all over again. Fortunately, I knew what to do this time. And so, you know, that one was, I practically, you know, a breeze flying through it until I realized, wow, that's pretty profound.
Yeah, very profound. And the first one was caused by thoughts as well, because your thoughts were creating, it was a situation which created the thought of, oh my God, I'm going to die. Their house is going to go down. There's no fire department. My house, what's going to, so this, all these thoughts that you maybe not have even consciously.
I was worried about Hazel. She's like 87 years old. She lives in that house by herself. So my first reaction is got to make sure Hazel makes it out of there. You know, I mean, of course, my other thoughts are usually for other people, but then I start thinking, well, what if we have to flee? Because this is the third time we've had a fire that close to our house since we've lived here. So it's not the first time. And we have a special procedure that we, you know, have set to carry out in case of fire. But it was very, very amazing to me, the level at
physical
which
logic that effect that of the what if, right? Yeah. And I want to really point this out, the what if, because people live what if so much. What if this, what if that? Let's just live here in the moment, right? There's a tiger chasing me now. I'm going to escape from it. Mm-hmm. Oh, what if the house next door to me burns down? Well, let's just, you know, deal with that if that's not an imminent emergency. But so many of us think, what if I get COVID and I'm in the hospital and there's not enough beds? What if my kid gets it? What if, what if, what if? And right. Worry is the waste of a good imagination, yeah. Right? Worry creates the same physiologic effects. It's a thought as if there really was, because if there's a tiger there, it starts with a thought. A tiger, what does tiger create? Fear, what does that do? It affects the brain and that whole, you know, CRH, ACTH, adrenaline, cortisol cascade that Susan talked about. And so, yes, if it is a real tiger, allow it to happen. Allow yourself to do what you need to get out. But if it's not, and there isn't anything to do, that's when we go to our breath and our appreciation and the I am here. I am safe. Right? And it doesn't matter if I'm not safe in 10 minutes. Right now is what matters. Right? And we can create a lack of safety 10 minutes from now, which Diana so exemplified by thinking and getting into that frenzy. And then that created a crash, that created a physiologic. And we're all doing it all the time.
But I also have my safe space that I go to when I'm in that situation, while I was waiting for a phone call to come in or whatever, instead of dwelling on all of that stuff, which is nothing I could do about. I just did my heart math, said my prayers, started talking to Jesus. That's my safe space.
That's your safe space. So you had the idea, you had already initiated this physiologic response, but you were able to shift that and not have it cause a devastating effect because you knew those things. And had you not known how to do those things, had you not had prayer, had you not had heart math, had you not had the ability to calm that down, you may not be here telling this story today.
Correct. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The nightmare one really did blow my mind. I was not aware that a non-event could actually trigger a full-blown, cortisol. Right.
But the body doesn't, when it comes to nightmares, because I back in my early 20s, I had a nightmare that literally I woke up sweating and shaking and falling. Yep. And mm-hmm. The body just, it doesn't know, it can't distinguish reality from fantasy. So
there you go.
And that just brings it back home to how important the thought is. You know, it's like, I think we get thoughts and emotions kind of muddy.
Yeah.
But the thought comes first, which leads to the emotion.
Other people feel like the emotion comes first, but it is I think it's the thought.
Yeah. I want to just comment on that. What I've been thinking is my biggest challenge is that sometimes I find myself in the middle of an emotion and I have to stop myself. I'm already feeling the emotion and I don't know how I got there. And then I have to stop and think, why do I suddenly feel anxious or depressed? And then I realize it's been this automatic series of thoughts that I'm so used to that I actually interpret the thoughts as an emotion. And the truth is that I've thought myself into this and I didn't even realize it.
Exactly. They call
right.
them.
So you're adding to all those negative cell receptors.
Right. Exactly. There some folks in the literature will call them ants, automatic negative thoughts.
Yeah.
Right? And there's certain events that trigger, right? There's triggers for those thoughts. And it may have been that, you know, your son looked at you funny and said something that you perceived as he doesn't think I'm a good mom. And then suddenly blah, 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 blah. Right. And so that's why I think the heart math is such an important piece and the visualization and the breathing. Because the body doesn't know the difference. So if I think I'm at the beach, oh, I feel the sand, I feel the warmth, I feel there, right? And I do this automatically all the time because I've been doing it for a long time. And that's what I want for you guys to get to. That for me, sometimes, like as soon as Susan couldn't do that, what that triggered in me was I went, did my breathing, got into that space. You know, stayed away from people are going to be pissed off because, you know, they're coming here expecting this perfect, flawless presentation. I had to let go of that thought and think, okay, I'm going to help Susan through this. Boom, click this link, click that link, click this link. But I did it because I was able to go right there. And that's what we want to be able to shift in our bodies is that when you have the negative thought, that triggers your response of, okay, let me just breathe. Right? Automatically. We're never going to always get there. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I would be nice, but you catch yourself sooner and sooner and sooner. So thank you for sharing that, everybody.
So as you were saying that, Dr. Anne-Marie, I was just sitting here thinking, I think the best part of this presentation for me was the computer glitches in the beginning, because that just really cemented to me that I'm actually making some progress in this department.
Yeah.
I didn't freeze up. I didn't panic. I breathed. I'm like, okay, I've got someone here who's a techie who can work me through this. I don't have to act like I know it all. I don't have to have this perfect. I mean, that's such a paradigm shift for me.
Yeah.
So this was very cool.
Great.
It is so very cool. Thank you, Susan.
This was awesome. And I want you guys, as a takeaway, because I feel on another call in a few minutes, but as a takeaway, what I want for you is I want you to look back in, you know, empowered self-care is laid out very, very systematically. And if you go through it all and, you know, you'll skip around a little bit because some of the stuff's going to call to you. But if this really rang true for you, go to the beginning where it's like setting yourself up for true healing, really click that link and get the heart math things coming every day until it becomes habit for you. And then if you're really, this is you, go check out the CAFE program, which is the adrenal program, right? And, you know, still it's good to do the little questionnaire to see really where you're hung up because your adrenals might be hyperactive because of a gut bug or something like that. But you have everything I've ever created in this program. And I've given you a roadmap to take you through it, right? So I highly recommend that you use it to its full capacity. Yeah. Thank you so much, Susan. This was awesome. Love it. And we'll get the slides. Make sure you send the slides over. I think Frances. Oh, they already. Okay. We'll load it up with the video where you'll have her slides so that you can, you know, really reinforce it. It'll have the book and all the quotes and all that kind of stuff in it. So thank you guys so much. I think we have another call on Thursday because this is a short month for me. I'm not working the Christmas week and the New Year's week. So all of our calls are this week and next week. So we'll see you again on Thursday with questions. So as you start to put this into play, come and ask questions and get support, right? Sending you lots of love. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.